Insightful and entertaining look into how this has happened and what we can do to address it. But it's not a film that Hollywood will make, so the two have been raising the money themselves. Initially, it was going to be released in a limited number of theaters, but after raising $500,000, they realized how powerful the message was and the importance for everyone to see it. That's why they've launched a 30-day campaign to get $1 million so No Safe Spaces can play in theaters across the country. But they need your help. Go to nosafespaces.com and donate to this great cause today. Plus, there are great perks for those that contribute. See for yourself at nosafespaces.com.
The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on your radio dial. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call right now, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And I think what we'll do is we'll go ahead and start our program tonight with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into a few things here, I guess, hopefully. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program. Use it this evening for your glory. Pray, guide the questions and the answers, and help us as we look into your word, and just to pray that we could be a blessing, encouragement to people tonight, point people to Christ, and encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, good to be with you tonight. And as I said, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And it's been a long, busy day. I mean, we had our services, Bible study hour at 10 o'clock, morning service at 11, afternoon had a service at the nursing home there in Richfield, and then our evening service at 6 o'clock, got home in time to try and get something to eat, get some things together, and make it back up here in between raindrops. We've had some storms going through here, the area here tonight, and a beautiful day, though, overall, but just had a few big storms come through here, had a lot of rain this past week, and just some areas got hit harder than others, I guess, even today, but So just kind of trying to get everything sorted out here. Wanted to mention, of course, that you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can check us out on Facebook as well. You can find us on Facebook if you go to Facebook and /livewithpastoral. You can find us there. And I point out on Facebook, we have our program streaming on Facebook Live tonight. We're still giving that a try, and we're hoping that the sound is coming in a little bit better tonight. We had some suggestions last week that it was kind of hard to hear, and so we're endeavoring to get that sound coming in a little bit better. So again, if you're listening on Facebook Live and want to let us know how the sound is doing tonight, hopefully it's better than last week, and we'll go with that. Let's see. What else do I want to mention here tonight before we get going? You can give us a call. Of course, give me give out those phone numbers again, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Get you on toll-free. And with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And I had something else here. Oh, yes, I knew I had something else. I was trying to think what it is. Pray for us. before I get to our first caller here tonight, pray for us. Our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, we're going to be out at the Summit County Fair. We're in Summit County there, where if you're not familiar too much with northeastern Ohio, if you look and see where Akron, Ohio is, we're just north of Akron. We're actually about midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike, which is Interstate 80, cross. We meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express there in Richfield, northern Summit County. But we're going to be at the Summit County Fair starting a week from Tuesday night, not this coming week, but the following week. We're going to be at the Summit County Fair, and if you get a chance to come out, if you're in the area, and we met some of our listeners last year and the year before at the Summit County Fair, that's July the 25th through July the 30th, but we have a booth. We're right inside the main entrance as you're coming in. Hopefully we're in the same spot we've been the last couple of years, which would be right on your right as you come in. And it's hard to miss us. We have a big board, a big display that says three things God can't do. And it gets a lot of attention, gets a lot of conversation going, and gives us a chance to share the gospel with people. But we'll be at the Summit County Fair. Pray for us. And like I said, if you're in northeastern Ohio and you are planning on visiting the Summit County Fair July 25th through the 30th, give us a visit. Look for us at the at our booth there for the Bible Baptist Church. I'll be there most of the time. There's sometimes I won't be there. Obviously, on Sunday, the 30th, I won't be there. Some people at our church will be filling in, but we've got that coming up. We're looking forward to that. We always have a good time. It's a busy week. It's a time-consuming week, and there's a chance I may be helping somebody out with another booth, not our church, but another booth at the Medina County Fair the following week. I think they run the 31st of July through the 5th or 6th of August, something like that. So I'm hoping to be out there a couple of days as well. But we'll let you know more about that one as that develops. But the Summit County Fair, look for us out there during the Summit County Fair, July 25th through the 30th. All right. Well, we're going to get back into our program, get back into our calls here tonight. And like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Ken on the line. And Ken, welcome to the program tonight.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Al.
Hey, good evening. Good evening.
Yeah, I've moved to call. I've been reading a book. I have it in my hand now. It was mm-hmm. written by King James, and the name of it is Demonology.
Okay.
Written by High and Mighty Prince James, by the grace of God, King of England, Scotland, France, and Ireland, defender mm-hmm. of the faith. And in this book, King James...
Let me interrupt just for a second for our listeners. This would be a book written in the 1600s.
Yes,
because this is the King James that authorized the translating of the King James Bible. That's why it's called the King James Authorized Version. But go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, he was on a campaign to eliminate witchcraft
mm-hmm.
and satanic workings within his kingdom.
Hmm.
And he was very convinced that they were for real and that they were doing great damage to the workings of good for the Christian, directions of good for people.
Well, we know that we do battle in a spiritual battle against the forces of evil, against, let's see here. I was going to say Ephesians 6, verse number 12, where it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And this is going on behind the scenes oftentimes. You know, in America, we think, well, we're civilized. We don't see this. That's stuff that, primitive cultures experience, but not in America.
Yeah, King James felt that it was his duty as a king.
Right.
To be a good king, all the good kings of Israel always put witchcraft out of the land.
Right. Yeah, you read through the book of, you know, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles in the Bible, you're absolutely right, Ken. You'll see the good kings, like Hezekiah and Josiah and different ones, they put witchcraft out of the land.
Yeah, so King James in this book is making his case for a campaign for the fullest prosecution and the fullest extent of being after witchcraft and eliminating it.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because, as you said, one of his titles, I think you read, Defender of the Faith, and he looked at that as his responsibility, because as king, you know, he viewed himself placed in a position that God had placed him there to accomplish some of these things. And as a good king, you know, like you're saying, he was taking the example from some of the good kings in the Bible, the good kings of Israel, actually the southern kingdom of Judah, really, when you think about it, because the northern kingdom that took the name Israel didn't really have any good kings. Some were just less bad than others. Of course, we have Saul, David, and Solomon were the kings of the united Israel, and then after Solomon, it divided into the northern kingdom of Israel, southern kingdom of Judah, and that's where you had the good kings that, like you said, they endeavored to get witchcraft out of the land, amongst other things, and he recognized that as part of his responsibility, and of course he recognized that his duty was to fight evil, so...
Yeah, he said that. He said, some of you are going to think I'm going too far in this witch hunt.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm going too far. But he says, I want you to know that if you think I'm going too far, you're going to be like Saul when he spared Agag and didn't follow God's commands concerning the Amalekites.
Right. And again, that's the case where Saul lost the kingdom as a result of that. God judged him for his failure to obey. And what was the name of that book again, Ken? Is it
Demonology?
Demonology by King James.
By King James.
I'm gonna have to look that up myself because that would be very interesting. And you know, this is something that has always been going on behind the scenes, because if you think about it, the very first thing that happened in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 was a demonic attack upon Eve. Remember when Lucifer, disguised as a serpent, convinced Eve to sin against God? And you see, you know, demonic attacks like that happening all through the Bible, and there's no good reason to think that they've ceased today.
Yeah, I've come to the conclusion that our nation is very generally bewitched.
I mean,
how could men just sit back and let the normalization of baby killing, the normalization of sodomite marriage licenses,
mm-hmm.
and to let these things go on? Only one man standing up really in our country, Roy Moore in Alabama.
Right, and he might hopefully one day become Senator Roy Moore from Alabama.
Yeah, we're praying for that.
Yeah, but your point there, Ken, that passage I read in Ephesians chapter 6, it said, principalities, the powers against rulers of the darkness of this world. Rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. We're talking about these things influencing rulers and rulers, you know, we think of kings, but we also have to put in there governors and presidents and prime ministers and you know, assorted types of rulers like that. And when you read in Daniel chapter, I think it's about Daniel chapter 10, I'm not going to turn there right at the moment, but he talks about a battle going on in the spiritual realm. Remember, between the prince of there was the angel that was sent to deliver a message to Daniel and was withstood for 3 weeks by a what essentially was a fallen angel, a demonic spirit that opposed him and hindered him from bringing the message through until Michael the archangel came. And then he told Daniel after he gave him the message, he was going back to the battle, and that the prince of Grecia was coming, meaning another one. And of course, the Babylonians were followed by the Media Persians were followed by the Greeks. And when this is the demonic entity that was influencing the Greeks in their rise to power. And so we see this going on behind the scenes, just like the Bible talks about how God moves upon our hearts and tries to influence us for good through His Spirit. And we have these fallen spirits, what we refer to oftentimes as demons or devils, trying to motivate us to oppose God and to resist God and not to listen to God. So, that'd be a very interesting book. I'm going to have to take a look and see if I can find that. Did you find that online by chance?
Yes.
No, I'll have to look that up. But
online, I could not find any updated, you know, like how the King James 1611 was updated in 1792.
Where they standardized the spellings and the typesetting and stuff, yeah.
Online, I could not find anything except the Old English.
Okay. Well, yeah, and again, you have to look at how it's written in that Gothic style where the S's that look like F's and things like that. But it's readable. I'll have to look for that, Ken. Appreciate that. I'm going to have to let you go, though, because I got two more callers and we're running out of time. But any real quick parting comment there?
Yes, Godspeed to you.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the call, Ken. And like I said, I'm going to have to look that up. That sounds interesting. So thank you very much. All right, I appreciate that. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we got a couple callers here. Phone number's 888-677-9673. We've got David on the line. David, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello, Pastor Al. How are you?
Good evening. Welcome, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I'm doing fine. You piqued my interest. I wanted to make sure I had the three you're talking about. When you're talking about going to the fair and you're talking about the three things God cannot do, I was wondering, I think the first one is lie.
Correct.
The second one is
God cannot lie.
The third one, the first one, and then he can't change.
Yes, God cannot change. And the third one
is he can't let sinners into heaven.
Correct, unless you're born again.
Okay.
Yeah, that comes from the Gospel of John.
Okay, can you share how that helps to bring people to a salvation? Can you share how you...
Absolutely. Please, because think about it. We get all kinds of reactions. Everybody from, you know, people who were born again and want to defend God, there's nothing God can't do, I'm going to set you straight, to atheists. I've had atheists come up and say, oh, come on, I thought you Christians believe that God can do anything. So we get, I mean, like I said, we get everything. It's a broad spectrum appeal. And yes. My favorite case one time helping somebody out with a board like this at the Cuyahoga County Fair, and this is probably 5 years ago, there was a little old lady with a cane. She must have been upper 80s or something like that, or she was in at least her 80s. But she was walking along, and she stopped. And she saw that sign, and she got this hard look to her face, and she looked at us and said, there's nothing my God can't do. And then she said it again, and she picked up her cane and shook it at us. And then she started stalking towards us, and she had fire in her eyes. I mean, I thought, you know, she looked like she was ready to clobber us with that cane. And she came over, and I said, well, wait a minute. And she paused long enough. I opened the first one and said, God cannot lie. And she stopped. She looked. She smiled. She started to laugh. And she goes, oh, that's right. And then she loved it. And she wanted to see the rest of them. And she thought, this is great. But see, what it does, and I'll tell people, oftentimes they're looking at it, and I can see them. They'll be 10 feet away, and they'll be looking at it. And then finally they'll come over and say, okay, you got my curiosity. What is this? And I'll say, well, see, I've done the first thing I want to do. I got your attention. And now I've accomplished the second thing. I got you asking questions.
Well, and, you do it to me, too, tonight. You do it to me. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, and here's another thing. I'll get, and this is something even kids can understand, because I'll have kids that'll look at that, and they'll kind of, you know, when I'm talking kids, I'm not talking about teenagers, although they ask questions too, but I'm talking to like kids that are like 8, 9 years old, sometimes a little younger, and they'll say, what do you mean? And I open the first one up, and it says that God can't lie. Of course, we have Bible verses for all that. And when I tell them that, open the door, it says God cannot lie, and it's got Titus chapter 1, verse 2 quoted there, which says God that cannot lie. And I said, before I open the door, I'll say, there's something behind this first door that you and I and everybody you know can do. And they'll be looking at me, and I'll say, but God can't do that. I said, isn't that interesting? You can do something God can't do. Do you think it's possible that you can do something God can't do? And you can see the wheels start turning. I mean, just because somebody's 6 or 7 years old doesn't mean that they're unintelligent. And I like to challenge people to think. And the wheels start turning.
Amen.
Yeah, and they open, they get that first door open. It says, God cannot lie. And when they see that, I say, see, it's not necessarily a good thing, but we can do it. And I said, that's a problem. We lie, but God can't. Then we get to the second door, which says God cannot change. And behind that, it's a verse from Malachi 3:6 that says, I am the Lord, I change not. And what we're talking about is God can't change his characteristic, which means God cannot lie, and he's not going to suddenly start lying. So he's trustable, he's believable, he's reliable, he's faithful. And so I tell kids, because God cannot lie, he's not going to start lying, so everything he says must be true. And that's when the third door comes in. We're in John chapter 3, and it covers, I think, from verses 3 and verse 5, where it says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's in verse 3, and then verse 5 says he cannot enter it, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And I say, God can't change this, because he said it, he cannot lie, this must be true. And so therefore, unless you're born again, and by this time, people have admitted that they're a liar, because I say, you lie. I remember one time, one little boy, I said, have you ever lied? And he said, no, and with big eyes. And his older sister, who is a couple years older than him, nudges him and said, oh, yes, you have. And,
there was a witness there. Huh?
Yeah, so people will admit that they've lied looking at that. And, it's easy to admit, I've told a few fibs in my life. The moment I say I've never lied, I'm lying. And
you got it.
And then
that's even about God's word. God makes man a liar. God is not a liar.
Right.
Man is the liar.
And then and then I like to go oftentimes to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. People don't think lying's that bad. But in Revelation 21:8 it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, and then it says this, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that's why we need to be saved. God cannot allow sinners into heaven. He cannot allow liars. How many people do you have to kill to be a murderer? Just one. So how many things you have to steal to be a thief? Just one. So how many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? Not a dozen. Just one. Just one.
And that's why it's so important to actually be truthful yourself as a Christian.
Yes.
That don't, sway things and try to make things rounded off, like try to make it right in their eyes.
Exactly.
Just tell the truth. And as long as you tell the truth, the other person has a chance to become less of a liar,
Right.
But if you dab in that same pool, you're not going to help anybody at all.
Exactly. So it gets the conversation going. It makes a nice flow where you can establish that we're sinners and show them that we need to be born again. We need Christ as our Savior. Hey, David, I got one more caller hanging on here yet, and I try to get to them before the end of the segment here.
Al, thank you for sharing that. I want you to make sure to pray for our brother Bruce. He's in a mess of hurt and physical pain. Okay, Bruce?
Okay, pray for Bruce.
Make sure to pray for Bruce.
All right, thank you very much.
He's got back issues and everything else, and he said it worked out because of the show is not going on this week or whatever.
Yeah.
But pray for Bruce.
Okay, we'll do so. Thanks for your call. And Dana, we've got you on here. Welcome to the program. Got a few minutes before the break. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Al.
Hi.
I haven't called in a while. It's been quite, excuse me, it's been quite a heck of time. But What I'm calling to ask you is, there was a time when I didn't, you know how sometimes you say, my God, there's so many versions of the Bible, you know, and you read some of the versions of the Bible, and the way things are written, they're written with such a, sometimes you read it with like, I mean, I read it and it's like, no, it's really lewd, you know, it's like, I never would have thought that, it's like a filthy mindset. And I said one day, I said to God, I said, Lord, I said, I don't understand why the Bible is written, you know, why those particular parts are in the Bible, and parts like the Song of Solomon, stuff like that. And I stood on top of the King James Bible with the Bible under my feet. And I said, Lord, in Jesus' name, I said, Lord, you know, keep me in the way that I should go. Keep me in the way that I should go with your Spirit. Lead and guide me, give me the understanding as to why those things seem so bad. And God showed me that there's so many different versions of the Bible, but they're used for different ministries.
Yeah, well, let me interrupt a second, yeah. Partly because we're running out of time. One thing we have to realize when you're talking Bible versions, and I know we don't have time to do justice to this, but all of the modern versions that are out there are not based on the same thing that the King James Version is based on. I don't have time to get into it right now, but on our website, we have some materials there. And let me direct you to another website, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And reference there, there's a couple of books that help you understand what's going on with the Bible versions. A really good one, Which Bible Would Jesus Use, by Jack McElroy. And there's a couple of other good ones there. One Book, One Authority by Dr. Stauffer, and just different ones. But I direct you there because we won't be able to get into all that there. And the other Bibles are based on manuscripts that were purposely adulterated in order to weaken the deity of Christ, to weaken the blood atonement, to weaken the doctrine of the virgin birth. So I do not recommend, nor do I use versions other than the King James, and not because I think I'm something special. I actually came from a use of the New American Standard Bible. When I realized that the King James Version is based on different manuscripts, I had to make the choice to switch. I apologize, we're out of time. If you want to hang on, maybe we can get into this a little more in the second half. But thanks for listening.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Back, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to get you on the air. Just a reminder before we get back to our callers here, brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. And not only that, we're also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give them a call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And even if you're outside of the northeastern Ohio area, excuse me, and you would perhaps be interested in starting your own pizza business, or maybe adding a good pizza recipe, and it is good pizza. My wife and I enjoyed some. We had some this past week. And if you're looking for a good recipe, you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business. It's not a franchise. It's his own recipe. And take it from me, it's good. I enjoy it. It's my favorite pizza. Well, we're going to get back to our program here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And you know, it just occurred to me, I missed today. Today was National Ice Cream Day. I didn't get any free ice cream. You didn't either? I'm looking at Andrew, our producer in there. He didn't get any either. I think my wife has let us both down. She didn't get us any free ice cream today. What can I say? I guess we'll have to bear, she's playing the violin for us. I guess we'll have to soldier on. Life is tough, but I just happened to think about that. Had nothing to do with the program. Talking about pizza and everything made me think of ice cream. What can I say? We missed it. Oh, well, there's always next year. I guess I can break down and buy some. But anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, we'll get back to our program here. Like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we got a couple people online. And in the last segment, we were talking with Dana, and we were talking about some things about the Bible, and we were running out of time, and I did not have enough time for Dana to fully get to her question. I talked and addressed the issue of Bible translations a little bit there, too. And there's really a good series of drama. It's just sort of dramatizations done in a casual, informative, somewhat humorous style by Dr. Sam Gipp called "What's the Big Deal About the KJV?" And it's got seven little episodes, and they last, I think, about eight or 10 minutes a piece or something like that. And it addresses a bunch of the issues that come up with Bible translations and the difference between the King James and the modern versions. But the takeaway that I wanted to leave before I get Dana back here is that the King James Version comes from the Hebrew Masoretic text in the Old Testament, and the Textus Receptus, which is a compilation of Greek manuscripts that the vast majority of them agree with each other. I don't know off the top of my head the incredibly high percentage of agreement. And the modern versions are not always based on the Masoretic for the Hebrew, but in the Greek New Testament, they are not based on the Textus Receptus. They are based on primarily two manuscripts, the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus, that basically were considered corrupt manuscripts that were the result of people who wanted to deny the deity of Christ and many of the cardinal fundamental truths of Christianity, and they adulterated their manuscripts, and that's what they come down to us in those two. And most of your modern versions are based primarily on those two manuscripts, which disagree with each other thousands of times alone, let alone with the rest of them. So they're the minority text that was refused and considered unreliable. And in the late 1800s, they were championed by two men, Westcott and Hort, who did not believe in the blood atonement. They thought it was a heresy. They did not believe in many of the cardinal truths, and they were trying to attack Christianity. And they championed these in an effort to revise the King James Bible. And they basically went with these minority texts as opposed to the Textus Receptus, and they altered the Bibles. That's why in Jack McElroy's book, Which Bible Would Jesus Use?, he shows many things in there. In fact, there's a part in Daniel where the three men are thrown into the fiery furnace, and the king says, "Did we not throw three men into the fire?" He says, I see four walking around. The fourth is like the Son of God. But in many of the modern versions, it says the fourth is like a son of the gods. And on my webpage at livewithpastoral.com, livewithpastoral.com, I actually have a paper there on 15 verses that are omitted from the New International Version. They're also omitted from several other modern versions as well, and they're just gone. The statement in 1 John chapter 5, around verse 7 and 8, where it says there's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, is omitted from many of the modern versions. Some have an explanation as to why they're omitted, and some don't. The NIV has something that they knew when they put the footnote in there that it was false, that there were no manuscripts, no Greek manuscripts prior to the 1600s, I think, or they say, that had that in there, even though we have manuscripts going all the way back to the second and third century that have that in there. So, and they knew that, but it's just that there were people involved in these modern versions that wanted to corrupt the Word of God. And that goes back to what the devil said in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, when he said, "Yea, hath God said." And many of the modern Bible scholars today that champion these false versions, they actually tell us that there's mistakes even in the originals, and it's up to the scholars to correct the mistakes. You know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they copied from faulty documents, and so they had errors that crept in. No, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. That's what Paul wrote. Peter wrote that holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and God promised in Psalm 12 that he would preserve his word from the generation that received it forever, and I believe that it is preserved today in the King James Version of the Bible. I know I went on a little longer there. I apologize, Dana, for keeping you online or on hold there, but I wanted to get that out because I feel very strongly, because the devil's first attack given in Scripture is on the Word of God, and you're talking about these modern versions, these different versions, each one having a different purpose. Well, I think their main purpose is to weaken the Word of God, to weaken Christians, to try to hinder people from coming to Christ, because it reflects the very same thing the devil did in the Garden of Eden. "Yea, hath God said." Well, we don't know what the original said. Did God really say that? And there's Bible scholars who say, you know, the Bible can't be taken to be any more or true than the Quran or any other religious book, because we don't really know what all the originals said. So I apologize for that, Dana. You just kind of hit a point right there, and I had to address it. But go back. You were talking about your question again.
I want to ask you also about the Jerusalem Bible. I think the original version was published in 1966, I think. And then there was the Jerusalem Study Bible, and then there's a New Jerusalem Bible, which I haven't read. Or I gotten a copy of it yet, but what I want to ask you is that particular version of the Bible has 72 books in it.
Mm-hmm.
And someone said to me one time, I was working in a nursing home, but before I left the healthcare field, I was working in a nursing home, and one of the people said to me, you know, what about the Book of Baruch?
The Book of Baruch. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, well, if you read the Book of Baruch, I said, it's technically it's full of the love of Jesus. I said, there are a lot of reasons why things are taken out of the Bible. But at the same time, though, what I notice is that those six books that were taken out of the Bible...
Let me correct you there. First off, they were not taken out of the Bible. They were never in the Bible. They were added by people later on. Roman Catholic Church, for instance, added some of the apocryphal books. But the Jewish people did not accept Baruch as part of their canon of scripture for the Old Testament scriptures. The early church never recognized it either. Baruch was added in later. Now, these books were available, like the Book of Jasher, and many of them were read and recommended to be read and to be learned from, but they were never considered to be in the Bible to be taken out. See, there's the misnomer there. You said they were taken out. I disagree with that. They weren't in the Bible to begin with for a reason.
Okay.
It's because they were not the inspired Word of God. They were things that might have been written on a contemporary basis, but I do have to correct that. They weren't taken out. They were added in later by some people.
Whenever they were added in there, did it say do not add? Was that Book of Revelation written at that time?
Well, the Book of Revelation was the last book of the Bible written, and it did have a warning about adding to the scripture, and God had completed it. And let me interject here, too. It was not the Roman Catholic Church that gave us the Bible. The Roman Catholic Church merely recognized the books of the Bible that were recognized by Christians across the world by the second century. The Roman Catholic Church didn't come into being until the fourth century. They put their stamp of approval on the books of the Bible, and then later they added some books. That's why the King James is not the same as they call them Protestant Bibles and Catholic Bibles, because the Roman Catholic Church had to add some things in order to defend Roman Catholic doctrine. But what I'm getting at is the canon of scripture was basically completed by the end of the first century, recognized in the second century, and then right at the same time, a number of false books were put out there. There were some false gospels that were written, and the devil was already trying to muddy up the waters, because after all, you know, like I said, his first attack was, yea, hath God said, and then of course, he succeeded in getting some people to delete whole sections of the Word of God even, and then some people to add things in. So while the Book of Baruch may have some interesting things, just like the Book of Jasher and the so-called Lost Books of Eden and different things like that, there's a lot of things we can learn from them, but we make a mistake when they think that their Bible, that they're on par with Genesis through Revelation. They have some interesting things in them, but they're not the inspired Word of God that Jesus referred to when he said all script, or Paul referred to when he said all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So that's, you know, I defend that pretty strongly, because, you know, one, it's historically accurate, and two, it's also, you know, this is a very important book, because I consider the Bible as the Word of God to be the most fundamental truth that I have, because everything I know about Jesus comes from the Bible. So
okay. Now, I also, whenever the scripture talks about the two different, it seems to many people that there are two different baptisms. Matthew 28:19 and Acts 2:38.
Okay.
Because they're quoting the name of Jesus. Now, a lot of people are use that for you know, mating and dating and stuff like that. How do you feel about that? And also,
two different baptisms. Matthew 28:19, where he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." What do you mean, two different baptisms?
The Matthew 28:19 in the Bible that I have says, I had an NIV for years, and I,
The NIV is unfortunately a very unreliable Bible, so I won't use that to correct the King James.
I got it only because I was learning how to study the Bible. I was learning what the Bible, you know.
I have an NIV that somebody gave me when they didn't want it anymore, and I use it to compare to see what's wrong with it. But no, right here it very plainly states, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now, some people think that you have to have a formula that you say at baptism, and some people have said
people who.
What's that?
I have found that that's usually people who are who follow the what they call the apostolic doctrine. Then when you're being baptized, they say, "I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost."
Well, there's a misnomer with what you said there too, because you do not receive the gift of the Holy Ghost when you're baptized, and you do not get saved when you get baptized. You get saved and you receive the Holy Ghost upon salvation. In fact, Paul wrote in Romans that if you don't, I think it's Romans chapter 8, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His, and that's the Holy Spirit. But we get baptized as a public profession of our faith in Christ. And what this is telling us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus said, "This is the authority at which you do these things. You do these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost," meaning you do these things in the authority of the Godhead, the Holy Trinity, the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so if I baptize somebody, I say, "I baptize you in the name of Jesus," or "name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost," upon your profession of faith. See, I don't baptize somebody to get saved. In the first century, nobody did that. The Catholic Church really championed that later when they wanted to baptize infants too, and different things. Other churches teach that, but that's a false teaching that crept in. I go back to what was taught in the first century.
What I thought about that when I started thinking about the Catholic Church baptizing children, I thought about it as in relation to the Old Testament, where when a child is 8 days old, they're offered
has nothing to do with that, though. Has nothing to do with that. That was circumcision. That was a sign between God and the Jewish people. Baptism is not a variation on circumcision. It's not Christian circumcision. Baptism is an outward profession saying, "I died with Christ. I'm identifying with the death of Christ on the cross. He was buried into the tomb." Baptism in the Greek words that underlie the word, the English word baptize, baptism, baptizing, and all its variants, means to immerse and bring up out of the water. It doesn't mean to sprinkle or pour. It means to immerse. That's why even the Roman Catholic Church initially immersed everybody, and they even immersed babies, because that's what the word means. Later on, they changed it, but the meaning, which they also changed, the meaning was simply, it was a picture of a person's identification with Christ, as Paul said.
Why did they change it?
because the Roman Catholic Church changed a lot. They were more involved in instituting their power and controlling people rather than in proclaiming the gospel and in furthering the kingdom of God. I do not look at the Roman Catholic Church as being a true expression of Bible Christianity. I consider it to be a corruption of Bible Christianity. The Roman Catholic Church says you can't know that for sure that you're saved, all kinds of things. And so there's all kinds of problems with the Roman Catholic Church that are in contrary. You know, they teach that it's a sin to know for sure. If you think you know for sure, you're going to heaven. The Bible says these things have I written in First John chapter 5, I believe it is, where he says, these things have I written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. The Roman Catholic Church elevates Mary to sinless perfection. I mean, I could go on and on with that. And unfortunately, I don't have time. Only got a few minutes left in the program, and I've got another caller. But basically, I defend God's Word. I defend the beliefs that are in God's Word. I want to get back to New Testament Christianity. I want to get back to what they taught in the first and second centuries, not the corrupted teachings of the fourth and fifth centuries that the Roman Catholic Church is built on. The Baptists have a unbroken history, not always called Baptist, back to the first century. There was a false teaching that arose amongst a Southern Baptist by the name of Whitsett in the 1800s, where they came up with a false teaching that never was believed prior to that, that the Baptists came out of the 1600s. And that was never believed and never accepted by anybody, including Catholics and Lutherans and others, prior to Whitsett teaching that in the 1800s. And they successfully revised history and ignored all of the histories that show Baptists going back to the first century. And Baptists have been killed in huge numbers by Roman Catholics and Protestants for refusing to embrace some of their errors. And I guess we'll have to leave it at that there tonight, Dana. But I appreciate the call and appreciate the challenges. What's that?
Do you have a church locally in the Ohio area?
Yeah, I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. So, we have service. We meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. We have services every Sunday. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Friday night Bible study. And so
I don't drive a car. Is there any buses that go out there?
We're a small church. There's public buses that go up and down Route 21 there. But I don't know. We're right on the northern end of Summit County. And I'm not sure how the buses work between. There's an interchange somewhere between the Cuyahoga County and the Summit County buses. Because you got the Cleveland buses and the Akron buses, and the Akron buses end up in our area somewhere, and the Cleveland buses end in Brecksville, which is just up the road. And I think there's some connection. I really unfortunately don't know myself. But I do appreciate the challenges tonight, Dana. And it's just like I said,
they're not challenges. They're just things that
They're challenging truths, I guess, challenging statements that I feel.
Just sometimes out of my ignorance, because I'd rather ask and understand where other people are coming from, so to speak.
Yeah. That's exactly why we do this program, is because, you know, we're a small church. I joke, we're probably the smallest church on radio, and I don't think that's that far off the money. But God has just enabled us to be able to do this, and we consider the fact that we might not get too many people to come into our doors, but I know I can get into a lot of people's homes through radio. And also, there's a lot of times people don't want to ask questions at their church. Feel intimidated, they feel awkward,
people think I'm stupid
or whatever. But in the radio, people are willing to ask questions. And sometimes, you know, people have, you like yourself, you have a question or you thought about something and you share it. And there's other people who have thought the same thing. And I'm all about trying to get people to think. What's that?
Can I ask you one more question?
Let's see. I don't know that we have time. We got less than a minute, so we're going to have to go ahead and and end up here, I think, right now. But I appreciate the call tonight, Dana. We'll have to pick it up another time sometime. But I want to thank you for the call, and thank you for the opportunity to share some of these things tonight. And we'll be back, Lord willing, again next week, and we'll continue on. And I hope you have a very blessed week this week. Thanks for listening. Tune in, join us next time, and God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
10 windows for your home, only $57 a month. Empire Window Company's 57th year anniversary sale, our biggest sale in 57 years. Flourishing for three generations while others have failed. How? Great service and prices. Think buy two, get two is a good deal? Our prices are much better. 10 quality windows from only $57 a month. Ask about free financing. Call 1-855-91-EMPIRE.
Hey gang, Big Chuck here for Empire Windows, a family-owned business I've been promoting for over 25 years. Empire offers you the highest quality windows and siding installed by experts at a price you